The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bear All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Good evening, hello, and welcome from our downtown studios here in Chicago. This is another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. The NFL draft is exactly 2 weeks away, guys. But before we get to all the draft stuff, Tom, we finally have a schedule to talk about, beginning with the September 7th regular season opener at Soldier Field against the Buffalo Bills. But after that, man, things get difficult.
Yeah, they do. But I think that's the same thing for everybody getting involved and getting ready to start the initial stages of this season. I think it's a little premature to look at the schedule. You just have to make sure you're organized day one. But when the reality of the regular season comes around, I think it's a difficult schedule. But there's a difficult schedule for everybody. It just has to make sure that you have the best team ready and able week one of the regular season, because there's a lot of things that happen at a regular pace week in and week out during the regular season. But it's all about being prepared early in the season to make sure that you get yourself in a comfortable position early enough.
Jim, when you look at the early portion of the schedule, considering the draft hasn't been held, you really haven't had any of the OTAs or mini camps to talk about, what do you look at when you see the Bears 2014 regular season schedule?
Well, I think you look, obviously, the 49ers early. That's a big-time challenge, September 14th. One, you're on the road against a very good football team that's been a playoff team since Jim Harbaugh arrived there as the head coach. And, you know, at the same point, you can't look past the Buffalo Bills and what Doug Marrone is trying to do September 7th. Their defense is going to be much improved. They got to get better at stopping the run. They were giving up about 150 yards a game, and they've got a young quarterback. So for them to really they want to take care of business. And for the Bears, that the Bills look at it, the Bears are a big test for them. So I think it's a difficult schedule. We know week three, when you look at September 22nd, going on the road again against the Jets, that's a stout defensive team. And we'll see where the Bears' defense is at that point, because Geno Smith and their young quarterback probably think that they're going to make hay against the Bears that should be starting to form an identity defensively at that point when you look at Chicago. Then, of course, when you look at Green Bay the fourth week, that's a division. We know that. But to me, when you look at the NFC South that they have to face, Panthers, Falcons, obviously Tampa Bay and New Orleans, that's no joke. When you face the NFC South, all those are good football teams, and that's going to be a challenge for the Bears as the season moves along.
The Bears have begun their offseason workouts this week at Halas Hall, and pleased to be joined now on the phone line by one of the players working out at Halas Hall this week, talking about the veteran offensive guard, Matt Slauson. And Jim, you talked about that matchup coming up in week three in prime time against the Jets. That's Matt's former team. And Matt Slauson, I know that's probably one that you have circled on the calendar, right?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Doing great, Matt.
The Jets game, it'll be cool going back there, seeing a lot of my old teammates and my old coaches and some friends. It's definitely a game I'm excited about, and I'm very familiar with that division. So open it up with Buffalo. You know, I've had a lot of experience with them, and it's going to be a difficult stretch, but that's the reality of the NFL nowadays.
I just want to backtrack a little bit. In terms of you coming to Chicago, last year you took a chance, you came to the Chicago Bears. Number one, why did you do that? And then being rewarded with a new contract, that's an incredible accomplishment after coming here on the one-year deal. So why the Bears first and the accomplishment of the new deal after?
Well, I've been following the Bears for a long time, since I was a kid. The Bears are a Midwest team, and I think they exemplify the Midwest and the blue-collar atmosphere. And as far as from a contract standpoint, the Bears have a reputation of taking care of guys on prove it type of deals. So I knew since there wasn't a whole lot of opportunities out there for me when I was a free agent, the Bears would be my best opportunity if I could go in there and handle all of my business.
What's the thing you like about Aaron Cromer? Because he'll elect to return with your coach. He is terrific with the offensive lineman, and maybe where you feel this offense can go with the Bears in year two. But clearly, I think Aaron Cromer is a fan favorite among offensive linemen.
Yeah. Cromer's great. We all respect him tremendously. He's got great ideas, great techniques. But the thing that a lot of us, especially the older guys on the line who have been used to doing it different ways or starting ways, he's open to work with us. And you know, a lot of coaches aren't necessarily like that. You know, he likes to get feedback on what we think works, on what techniques we have had a lot of success with in the past. And he likes to give and take. He doesn't coach us as a superior. We're all equals there, and that's something that's talked about by Tressman. So it's a really great work atmosphere every day.
Visiting with Bears left guard Matt Slauson here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority alongside Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Matt, I want to piggyback on something that Jim asked you about earlier. Considering that every offensive starter from last season is back to begin 2014, where do you guys kind of look at what you can do in year two of Mark Tressman and Aaron Cromer's offense?
Well, I think our potential is it's off the charts. I mean, we have the ability to be one of those high-powered, explosive offenses, and that's really exciting for me because I've never been a part of an offense like that in my whole entire career. But the problem with potential is that it can be a great compliment or a huge insult. So we have to make sure that we're holding up our end of things, and we don't take it easy and assume it's going to happen. We have to make sure that we hit the ground running, and we go in there and build off of what we were able to accomplish last year.
You know, Matt, though, last year the offensive line had an incredible amount of pressure on it because of the year's performance before it. How long did it take you to develop a relationship with both Jermon and Roberto? And then my second part of this, did you have to talk to Kyle a lot, either in training camp, in games, or in practices, to kind of expedite the way he came along as a rookie and how he fit in with all five of you guys?
Well, in terms of Bushrod and Garza, that happened really quickly. Our relationship developed over the spring. You know, one of the great things about Garza is he knows how to build camaraderie with guys. He has been in this game for a long time, and he knows the importance of all of us getting together and hanging out. So that was really important to him. And of course, me and Jermon were all about that. You know, we respect him so much for playing as long as he has and having so much success. We kind of want to follow his lead. And then with Kyle, you know, I didn't really do a whole lot until we got into the season. You know, because I wasn't sure how the roster was going to shake out, if he was going to start or not. But then once we started getting into games, and I knew he was going to be the guy, then I did step up a little bit. I didn't do anything during games, as far as coaching him during games or in camp or anything. But it would be in the middle of the week. I'd just give him a couple little things to think about. I wouldn't overload him with anything. I would just kind of give him a little reminder about a couple techniques, and he did great. I mean, he is he has so much ability that he's a very easy guy to coach. And I love watching the guy. He's like a sponge. He wants to be so good that he's just soaking up everything.
Well, Matt, my next question is, you somewhat hit on it, that saying, hey, on paper it looks pretty good, but we got to go out and do it and get better. But at the same point, complacency is probably the worst traits that any human can have, especially in football. And it happens. I've been on teams that were pretty damn good, but everybody's going through the motions. You know,
right.
And then finally,
right.
it does take someone. The coach can say all he wants. It takes a player to on the field when you're practicing. Hey, guys, pick it up. This isn't good enough. The sense of urgency. How do you avoid that, Matt? How do you get it done there in Chicago to avoid that complacency piece?
Well, I think the most powerful thing that can prevent that, it needs to come from the players. It needs to come internally by the leadership on the offense, and you know, Tressman and Cromer both said that to us our first day back on Tuesday, when we got together, and we met, in our offensive group. He said, "Look, guys," and he put up the stat sheet from last year of the entire NFL. And he goes, "You guys finished eighth," and he said, "That is incredible for first year." But he said, "You know what? If we finish eighth again, that is terrible. That isn't good enough. You know, we need to continue to work." And Tressman said, "This is your offense. You guys decide where we are going to go with it." And I thought that was really powerful. Because it's the truth. You know, the coaches can only do so much for us during the week and on game day. We're the ones who have to go out there and battle and play, and it's really going to be determined by the players.
Our final few moments here with Bears left guard Matt Slauson on Bears All Access. Matt, you talked about both Mark Tressman and Aaron Cromer dressing the offense. I know that before you guys started the offseason program earlier this week, everyone was kind of brought into the auditorium together, and the head coach delivered a few words. And there's so many new faces in the room, including Jared Allen and some of the other stars that the Bears signed on the defensive side of the ball. But what was the overall team message from Mark Tressman to you guys at the start of the offseason program?
Well, at this time, there's limited football that you can do. There's just so much training and building unity and camaraderie that was Tressman's main focus. You know, he's stressing the importance of us coming together as men, not just developing our football IQ and our strength and our speed. And he was talking about authentic relationships with each other. You know, he talked about he has this book that he brings up all the time. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a book about quantum physics, and he's talked about it a couple times, and he always puts up this quote talking about all of us being intertwined and how our destiny is reliant on everyone else. And in football, that is held so incredibly true. You know, I can't have any success unless the other 10 guys on the offense has success also. And we as an offense can't have success unless the defense and special teams have it also. So we have to develop personal, authentic relationships with each other.
Good stuff. Matt, thank you so much. We'll be talking a lot this offseason.
All right,
thank you,
guys.
Matt.
Thanks.
Matt Slauson, the Bears left guard, spending a few moments with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Tom, Jim, you guys have played a long time in the NFL. Have you ever had a coach use quantum physics to kind of break down the way he was looking at the team heading into a year?
I don't know what it is. But I'm sure it's relatable, because Coach Tressman doesn't say anything in front of the team that isn't relatable. That's one of the most unique traits about Coach Tressman, is what he says has value to it. I kind of joke about quantum physics, but he is one of the more intelligent speaking head coaches that I've heard use relatable information to the moment.
Well, I'd just throw in Einstein. He used the theory of relativity, time, space. Go back to the 85 Bears and do what they did. That's what he can do.
One of you guys went to Notre Dame. The other one went to Michigan State. I mean, for Pete's sake, you'd think you'd know what this guy's talking about. Let's take a timeout and come back. The draft 2 weeks away. What does that mean for the Bears? That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago collection of amazing experiences available exclusively at MasterCard to MasterCard cardholders. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller here with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Guys, the NFL draft exactly 2 weeks away. The Bears have the 14th overall pick in the first round. And based, Tom, on what you've seen the Bears do so far in free agency, do you kind of have an inkling as to the direction that they're going to go when it comes to that first round draft pick?
Inkling and Phil Emery, that's hard to put together, because if we had any inklings of the last couple of years, he's proved us wrong each of the two. I think they've narrowed it down to specifics of the most desirable position. And I think if you can still get that defensive tackle, that's going to set this defensive apart, at least from guard to guard on the interior and what its capabilities are. That's a guy that you can't pass up. However, you know, the evaluations are going to be strict. The Bears have to get into position to succeed. And again, you know, if you have that guy in the defensive backfield, whether it's a cornerback or a safety, you're still going to have to look at his measurements. But if you look at all the information that's spewed around all NFL media parts, it seems like there's only 4 to 6 quarterbacks in this draft, and everybody else is secondhand material, which is kind of disappointing. But specifically for the Bears, I still think that they could go, if they get the dominating defensive player, that could still spark your defense as much as a guy like Jared Allen can do.
Jim, what do you think? Because, you know, based on what Tom's saying, he's looking at defensive tackle. But if you look at the moves that the Bears have made in free agency, they've upgraded significantly when it comes to bringing in defensive linemen. They have not really replaced the starting strong safety that they had from a year ago in Major, right? They brought in guys to kind of compete for Chris Conte's position, and he's not going to be around until training camp at the earliest. So do you think maybe you look at a playmaker on the back end of your defense as opposed to up front?
Yeah, I think it's all on the board, and it's the quote-unquote best player available at that particular spot. You know, you hear more and more everybody like, oh, Aaron Donald, he'd be perfect for the Bears. We've talked about a big space heater. Could they be thinking about Rashid Hageman up there from Minnesota? And where the Bears are sitting at 14, let's say, and all indications are Dallas is going to try to trade ahead of Chicago to get Aaron Donald. If people don't know who Aaron Donald is, the guy won every award in major college, the Lombardi Award. I mean, All-American. The guy's won everything in terms of his defensive tackle play. He's phenomenal. But the more and more you hear, Jimmy Jernigan from Florida State, that is a pretty good penetrating defensive tackle from Florida State. We already know there's going to be a couple good safeties there. I've mentioned numerous times, Clinton Dix could still be on the board there from Alabama, or Calvin Pryor from Louisville. That's a hard-hitting body rocker. Two different styles. Probably Clinton Dix can cover more ground, but Calvin Pryor is definitely the body rocker in terms of the safety. There's corners that are going to be out the wazoo, even in the second corner. So let's say if a quality corner the Bears elect to pass up at 14, whether it's Darquez Dennard of Michigan State, and we've talked about Gilbert of Oklahoma State, and even other guys that are out there like Jason Verrett of TCU. Let's say those guys start to fall in the second round. There's even where the Bears select in the second round, unbelievable corners. I bring up this guy all the time, Keith McGill of Utah. This guy he's like Peanut Tillman. He's over 6'4", or he's actually about 6'3 and a half, 6'4", 220 pounds, and is just his body frame looks exactly like Peanut Tillman. Press man guy, you know, to play against those huge receivers in the NFC North, when you think of Jordy Nelson, when you think of Calvin Johnson of the Detroit Lions. So trust me, the areas this draft is deep in, granted defensive tackle, not so much. It's kind of a potpourri for defensive tackles, but in terms of corners, deep safety and drafts, wide receivers, There's good offensive linemen and a select amount of pass rushers. I think there's a potpourri in terms of pass rushers and linebackers. So if the Bears are unhappy and want to go to hit the linebacker market again, there's going to be some linebackers there, but they just have to be in position to get the guy that they want.
You know, Jim and Zach, real quickly, what phase of Seattle's defense enamored you the most? Could they accomplish what they did against the teams they played if they didn't have the strength up front, but they were still as strong in the back end, or vice versa? When you look at the Seattle defense, and if that's one of the templates of successful defense in today's game, sometimes, you know, people associate decisions of where they want to go according to how teams are being successful now against the different offenses they're playing. Sometimes when you throw that into the mix, you know, you got to think, what did you like about Seattle defense, the front or the back?
Tom, that's a great point, because remember when Seattle was getting killed for selecting Bruce Irvin?
Yes.
The guy's a freak athlete, and they went pass rusher because that was the strength of their defense. They had waves of pass rushers, Cliff Averill, Red Bryant. They could bring in Clemens. They could bring in Bruce Irvin. They just rolled these guys through there. And they're body-rocking quarterbacks. And so I'm with you. I think it starts up front. And granted, because it's deep in corners, this draft, you can address the corner situation a little bit later. But that's really been Seattle's MO. And I do think when you look at the first-round players, it's always going to be, you know, we always think of skill position players. But even look at last year's draft. It was all the D and offensive linemen. I mean, the Bears selected the ninth guy in Kyle Long. That was the ninth offensive lineman off the board. So it tells you that teams are really targeting really the trenches, and I think a lot of teams know that's really where the game is won.
Yeah, but guys, I see another thing that we haven't really talked about. With offenses kind of expanding the role of the tight end this millennium, I think you almost need to have a safety who operates like a linebacker, that you make sure that when that tight end is going over the middle of the field, that you have someone who can match up with that guy. You know, the Bears, they'll play Jimmy Graham again this season. You know, now he's the freakest of the freak tight ends, but there are a lot more of them now in the NFL, and you better have an answer for that type of player.
I don't disagree. Look at Rob Ryan's defense. Remember here, Rob Ryan takes over for Steve Spagnuolo down in New Orleans. They were the worst-ranked defense in the National Football League. They jumped to fourth. It's all big nickel. Big nickel is all they ran. Three safety looks. Malcolm Jenkins' safety. They had Roman Harper, and they draft Kenny Vaccaro. And so three safety looks, and you give Phil Emery credit. He's got a couple insurance guys they got in free agency. And we've talked about Ryan Mundy and the safeties that they added. But if you can get a body rocker who can cover, or a guy who's just a flat-out cover safety, like a Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, it's nice. It offers you versatility on the defensive side of the ball.
Hey, Jim, real quick, when you're talking about trying to cover Jimmy Graham as a wide receiver, as a tight end from New Orleans, but I think the safety position is going to be exposed in Philly's second year. I'm more interested to see what type of safety can come in and step in and be a detriment to the success of Philly's offense. So as much as you want to talk about Graham, that's another offense that safeties will be concerned with.
No question about it. Coming up next, guys, Ask Tom, your opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Judge Jim Miller. So here's how we're going to play. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Line up the phone calls. Rapid fire questions for Tom Thayer in our next segment. And at the end of the segment, Jim Miller will decide which call was the best call, and that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Ask Tom is next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bridgestone presents Famous Moments in Bridgestone Tires. Today's episode, Let's Roll.
The big rock and roll festival was next month, and the ticket price seemed too rich for Tina's blood. Luckily, Tina switched to Bridgestone Ecopia tires last year, engineered with low rolling resistance technology to help increase fuel efficiency. And she realized she'd saved enough money in gas to afford her ticket. So because Bridgestone rocked, Tina got to roll.
Find out how much you could save in gas by switching to Bridgestone Ecopia tires at fuelcalculator.com. Actual results may vary. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion.
You want a beer with history? Order a Miller Lite. The light beer that invented light beer. The one brewed for lightness and taste. Brewed with more beer in it. Because even if you're drinking a light beer, it should still taste like beer. Well, that's Miller Lite. The first. Numero uno. The one that started it all. You're welcome, other light beers. And for a limited time, Miller Lite is back in the original light can. It's Miller time.
Great beer, great responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Angry, tough, mean. That's how we love our Chicago Bears. And to help keep the monsters of the Midway, the monsters of the Midway, Tempur-Pedic provided beds for training camp. So now when the Bears wake up, they feel rested, refreshed, reinvigorated, ready to face another long day of being angry, tough, mean. Tempur-Pedic is the proud mattress provider of the Chicago Bears training camp. Visit our flagship store at Woodfield Mall or one of our authorized Chicagoland Tempur-Pedic retailers and get your best sleep possible.
Hey, Bears fans. Come to Sports Authority and find everything you need to show your passion for your hometown favorites, including official NFL jerseys, hats, jackets, tees, and much more. And speaking of winning teams, join Sports Authority's loyalty program, The League, and you'll get 5% back on all your qualifying purchases. Sign up in-store or online at SportsAuthority.com/the league to start getting rewarded. Sports Authority is a proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Airport, please.
What airline?
United.
Carolina?
United, por favor.
どちらの航空会社ですか?
United. United flies to more than 350 destinations in over 60 countries, more than any other airline. In every language, that's great big world friendly. United. Fly the friendly skies.
Includes flights operated as United Express.
Bears Care is bringing Bears fans an exciting opportunity to partake in this year's NFL Draft through the 2014 On the Clock raffle. Visit ChicagoBears.com/on the clock to purchase raffle tickets and be entered to win a trip to New York City to announce the Bears' fourth round pick. The winner and guest will enjoy first-class travel on United Airlines, VIP tickets to The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, Grand Club accommodations at the Grand Hyatt New York, a visit to Hallis Hall for a special post-draft program and tour, and more. Proceeds from the raffle benefit Bears Care.
Bears Care is bringing Bears fans another unique and exclusive opportunity to partake in this year's NFL Draft through the 2014 On the Clock raffle. Visit ChicagoBears.com/on the clock to purchase raffle tickets and be entered to win. And I want to let everyone know that All Access is now available as a podcast. You can subscribe on the show page at ChicagoBears.com. So that's a new little wrinkle that we have to make your life a little bit more convenient. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with on Bears All Access. Guys, it is time to play Ask Tom. It's a real simple game. Call up the show at 312-644-6767. When I call your name, rapid fire question for Tom. He'll answer it as best he can when it comes to the world of football. And in the meantime, we've got Judge Jim Miller in the background taking notes on each caller. At the end of the segment, Jim will pick a winner, and that winner will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You guys ready for another, what should be, outstanding edition of this segment?
They all have been.
Let's go.
All right, let's begin the festivities in Schererville, Indiana. We will start with Steve. You're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Steve.
Thanks for taking my call. Tom, my question to you is, with the defense the way it was last year, can they revamp it to be within the top 10 with a rookie safety coming in if we do get Dixon from Alabama to fit in?
I do. But, again, I think if you're going to take your defense and you're going to turn it into the top 10 defense, you have to have the combination of being able to stop the run, putting your opponent into predictable pass scenarios, and then when that happens, you got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. We've seen some of the haunting mistakes of the defense come show up last year, but I do think when you add a guy like Jared Allen and Lamar Houston and you still have the leadership of Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman, I think you have a great combination of veterans with desire that are getting here for the first time, getting ready to play with veterans that have a great deal of desire and professionalism in them. So I think the transition can happen.
312-644-6767 is the number on Ask Tom. We go to Elburn. Larry, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Tom. My question is, with the schedule just coming out and the Bears having back-to-back Thursday night games followed by a Monday night game, everybody worries about disrupting the practice week, but over the long run, might that actually benefit the Bears?
You know, Larry, that's a great question, because I think football players are a creature of habit, and they want to get into that itinerary existence during the season where they just follow the plan every day.
But when you throw in the alternate game times, I think when they play the Thursday day game against Detroit, and then they got the next Thursday night game, that's a good separation of time. And then they have a big recovery time with a Monday game the following week. So it's going to take a lot of the coaching staff to make sure that they get them into a good rhythm, that when they are going out in the field to play, they always have the right amount of energy. And Mike Clark, the strength coach, and those guys are all in this together. So I do think they're going to have to do some jockeying with the schedule here.
Jim in Merrillville, Indiana, asked Tom.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good, good.
Well, listening to everything I know about Trestman's playbook, how big it was, do you think that he's going to add more this year to it, or is he going to remove stuff that didn't go right last year and just tweak it?
You're always in the process of tweaking it because you learn new things of what guys are doing around the league and what they do successfully against some defenses maybe you're going to face this year. But I think Coach Trestman has 100% confidence in his game plan, his mastermind, the way he gets this offense ready. I think there's some more explosiveness in the offense that you haven't seen yet because it takes time to get everybody on the same page to run some of the most basic plays from the offensive line to all the other blockers, the running back, to get everybody together. So I think you're probably seeing phase one, one and a half of an offense, you know, hypothetically, that could have five stages to it. So I think there's a lot more to come this year in this offense.
A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line in this segment. We go to Gurnee. Tim, ask Tom.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tom. Assuming both are available, who would you take with the draft and why? Clinton Dix or Aaron Donald?
That's a good question. Oh, man, if I could get a guy that's close enough to the quarterback that can be disruptive both in the running game and the three-step drop passing game, I could go to a interior defensive lineman. Because each and every snap, if he puts one of the offensive guards or center into a position of insecurity and it's so close, he can do a lot to disruptive. So, and I don't think that a defensive back can come in here and work wonders if there's no pressure from the front. And I think all of us as Bear fans know that a defensive line up front can help the back seven as much as any one position out there.
Bears All Access rolls on. It's crunch time here on Ask Tom. We go to Nate in Davenport, Iowa. Ask Tom, Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, Tom. There. Pleasure to talk to you. What is your favorite free agent pickup in the offseason?
You know, I really like Lamar Houston, and I like Willie Young for that matter, but what I like about Lamar Houston and Willie Young is they're coming from organizations that we all know they don't have a track record of great discipline. And I think if you come out here and you challenge these guys to the best of their ability, that they're going to understand that they're going to have an extremely disciplined atmosphere to show up every day, work hard. Everything's going to be – you're going to understand everything that's expected of you. I think that these two guys have a time and opportunity to flourish, not only with the enthusiasm of Jared Allen coming over, but these are two young guys in the early stages of their career. You surround them by discipline and hard work, and they can get a lot from it.
One last contestant here on our Ask Tom segment with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line, McHenry. Tony, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Tom, how do you think that the Bears will defend the elephant position of the Green Bay Packers this year?
With a single block? Are you talking about the elephant position, assuming that that's going to be our guy?
Julius Peppers,
it's
the
gonna
former
be Julius Peppers is going to man that position?
Yeah.
If he plays with the same effort he did last year, with all due respect of watching the film and solid evaluation, I think the Bears will be able to block him well, either with a tight end or an offensive tackle. I think when you play the Green Bay defense, there will still be more concerned about the whereabouts of Clay Matthews Jr. than there will be Julius Peppers.
I think it's important to point out that Julius Peppers' old number has been given to Jeremiah Ratliff, who's now number 90 for the Bears, playing on the interior. Peppers was given number 56, so he's going to be a hybrid there as a linebacker in that 3-4 scheme as well as a defensive end. So now it's time to pick
a winner. Good
luck, Jim. Yeah. Jim, yeah, who do you have?
Six great questions to pick from. So we talked about a couple of them that a couple of callers called in. And so I got to go with the offensive question. He was asking about where the Bears' offense could go in year two. And I believe that was Jim from, what was it, Maryville, Indiana?
Yeah, Jim from Maryville, Indiana is the winner for switching things up, and we've got the quarterback as a judge, so of course he's going to go with the offense.
Just hey. 1 second with Jim Miller. Jim, tell us a little bit how much more this offense can expand over the OTAs and training camp.
Hey, I want more no huddle, just like what Denver did. Unbelievable numbers. They go all the way to the Super Bowl. Nobody could stop them. The Bears are capable of that. Did we see a lot of no huddle last year? We didn't see anything. There's a lot of expansion offense can do.
Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/InsideTheBears. And on Inside the Bears this weekend, Lindsay Petrucci examines the legacy that remains at Brian Piccolo's high school alma mater. Spice Adams matches muscle with one of the strongest women in the country. The show, again, airs Saturday at 5, Sunday at 10:35. On Fox Chicago. Zach Zaidman, along with Tom Thayer, as well as Jim Miller, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I mean, we could go on forever about the draft and where the Bears need to go specifically, but, you know, the NFL offseason has changed now, guys, and I'll start with you, Jim. They don't work out as much from an organizational standpoint as they used to when you played. Now you have different phases. For example, the coaches can't meet with the players during phase one, which started this week for the Bears. It's just with the strength staff in terms of working out with the weights. So how does that change what the Bears are looking to accomplish, because everything is kind of staggered as opposed to when you played?
Well, I think it makes it more difficult to develop young players. I really do. You know, because when you can't get feedback from your coach, and it doesn't have to be all physical. And I know it's the new part of the new collective bargaining agreement where they've cut down the access by coaches and the time you can be on the field. But, you know, imagine if you're a second-year quarterback. Your biggest jump is going to be from year one to year two, how beneficial it is to be to just be in a meeting room with a coach where maybe you go through all the pass plays, breaking down all the protections, the coverages, explaining, getting the teaching that you need that is so crucial for your development. So I hate to say that. I think it stunts young players' growth and development. And I know we've got a couple of good ones that's been the anomaly when you look at Andrew Luck, but that guy's a self-starter who goes outside of the building and hires coaches personally to get him better. But, you know, you'd like to have Mark Trestman being able to meet with, say, you know, a young quarterback, say if they draft a young quarterback this year, say next year in the offseason, where he can really bring that guy along. So I really do think it really stunts the development of young players.
And, you know, talk about the academic side of it. I think it stunts them tremendously. But let's talk about the physical side of it a little bit, because the commitment to the off-season work program is just as important as what you do during the season. If you don't get your body ready, whether either the rehab work you have to do or just getting yourself stronger than you were the year before, if you don't go and dedicate the amount of hours, time necessary, the likelihood is going to decide the fate of some careers. You're just not going to be able to go in there and compete on a strength basis, be healthy enough to go out to practice every single day. It's got to be that time, that unselfish time that's dedicated in the weight room. And I think, yeah, these guys do go out and they get in their own programs and they work around, you know, different weight rooms and stuff. But I think if they were given the opportunity to be supervised by the facility, by the weight coach, and make sure that they get an opportunity to get their body ready for the abuse of the game, that's what's going to save a lot of guys. If these guys only work out under the time that's required of them, that they're under the watchful eyes of their coach, some of these guys aren't going to be strong enough or in good enough condition to go out and compete.
Hey, Tom, speaking of one of those young players, a lot's been made about Shea McClellan and what hasn't gone right in his career, but now he's switching, and I believe you used the word in one of our Bears All Access programs earlier this offseason that he's sort of reinventing himself. And this week, the public, thanks to pictures from his trainer, got an opportunity to see how he's reinvented his physique, and he's much sleeker looking, at least in the pictures, with the move to linebacker. How do you think that's going to materialize based on what you've seen, the work he's been putting in, and the new position that he's going to be playing?
It's able to convert athleticism to the strength that you feel confident that you can hold and still be an athlete and do the requirements that your job is going to have for you. And that's the key ingredient here. It's different than if you're taking a young college defensive end and you want him to be a bigger body, a 300-pound or something. Now you're talking about putting on weight to stay stronger at the same position. But when you're trying to take a player that's been doing certain types of drills over the last couple of years and trying to get weight on his body is different than taking weight off your body and increase your athleticism for the position requirement. So I admire Shea for going out there and putting a lot of effort into getting the job done. Now he's going to have to compute the academic classroom portion of it into the new athlete that he is.
And the other thing that Jim talked about earlier, the Bears are installing a brand new defense, and not having that extra time with the coaches, I do think it plays a little bit of a role.
It's double duty for him. He's not only had to transform his body to shed weight to play strong side backer, now he's got to learn a whole new defense that he struggled mentally to learn the first time around. Very difficult for Shea McClellan. I credit his dedication, but he's got to do double duty in the classroom as well.
A quick timeout. When we come back, I don't know if you guys heard this, but Yankees pitcher Michael Pineda was suspended 10 games for having pine tar on his neck, and this is after he initially had pine tar on his palm, and he wasn't suspended for that. Does anything like that happen in football? We'll get Jim's best stories, Tom's best stories coming up next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Our final few moments, and we generally like to have a little bit of fun on the show. And you look at other sports, there's a lot of crazy things going on. And in baseball, he's not the first guy to be suspended for this, but he's the latest, and that would be Yankees pitcher Michael Pineda, who really made no attempt to be discreet about the fact that he placed pine tar on the side of his neck to try, according to him, to get a better grip on the ball in baseball. And you can't do that. He was suspended for 10 games today by baseball. In football, Tom, what have players done over the years to try and get a little bit of an extra advantage using foreign substances?
I would think it would be called offensive lineman holding prevention details, because when you used to have baggy jerseys as offensive lineman, the defensive lineman would grab you and toss you around. So then they went to the tailored jerseys that were skin tight. So then they would put two-way carpet tape on your shoulder pads, so then the skin-tight jersey would stick to your shoulder pads so you couldn't grab it even if you were a defensive lineman. And then the little extra prevention that we used to do, or some teams used to do, is you used to go into the shower and put your head in a towel, and they would spray you down with silicone so you would have a little bit more slippery substance on you so the defensive lineman couldn't get a grab with you with their gloves with the adhesiveness to it. But now they check all the jerseys before the game and if anybody's found out with any illegal substance, because defensive linemen used to put Vaseline in their armpit area, and as soon as you're an offensive lineman that put your hands up there, then they were slippery for the rest of the game. So everybody used to have a little bit of holding and pass rush prevention.
Well, this is what I'd say, Zach, because it's not only at the player level, it's at the organizational level. Do we forget how everybody was complaining for years that when you went to Indianapolis, it was always the decibel level was always higher than any other team,
because
they'd pump in the crowd noise? Or it's amazing when you go on away games and your headsets would go out at the oddest times, Zach. I mean,
it happens every year to the Bears in Green Bay, from my understanding.
Yeah, that's a commonplace. Or that's another one that I'd bring up right now. When we played Green Bay and I was against playing against Brett, it was amazing. That's when they had the new rule that you had to break the balls right out of the plastic and go out there and play. But yet I look at out there and Brett Favre's playing with an old beat-up Charlie Brown ball, but I just got the brand-new ones right out of the box that I wasn't supposed to get. So it's funny how those things kind of happen, but they do, even in the games on Sunday. We'll call it gamesmanship. How about that?
That's one way to call it or refer to it as. But I find it interesting because, you know, in baseball, it's kind of accepted that you can do stuff like that. In football, I think the difference is that there aren't many people listening that have actually played football with the pads the way you guys did. And I don't necessarily know if they have a true appreciation for those little nuances that don't get talked about.
Not to interrupt you, but one of the biggest scofflaws are the kickers and the punters. Before they used to go through the kicking balls that the referees would bring them to the game, they used to have this whole routine that they would go through of scarring up, and not scarring, but taking off the oily outside of the leather, and then they would put it in an instrument that kind of made it rounder and crushed it up a little bit. They would put them in the hot dryer and let them beat inside there for an hour or so. So there was a lot of attempts of trying to make your job, you know, whatever you were attempting to do, punt it higher, kick it longer, or, throw it more direct.
I'll tell you what, if I was playing today, defensive linemen would hate me because I'd be putting on the biggest acting jobs every time I got even touched to try and draw a 15-yard penalty. There's a lot of things you can do to really, in terms of gamesmanship and get under your opponent's skin, and that goes both ways. There's no doubt about that.
But you see it today, Jim. Every time we watch a game, there's a quarterback that's pretending that he got just...
Oh, Drew Brees is excellent at it. Peyton, Tom Brady, they're all doing it now because it draws the penalty. You're going to get an easy 15 yards in a first down. Why not do it? You take it as far to the edge as you can. And that's what these players are doing.
And to the frustration with the quarterback throwing the incompleted pass when he's in the grasp of two players but not yet down. That's a frustrating portion of it also.
Yeah, on game day, man, when that situation happens, Jim, you should hear Tom. It's the only time you hear him complain on game day.
Well, I feel bad. I almost feel guilty as a quarterback that these guys are there doing that. But, hey, it's not like back in the old days, like when Tom played and quarterbacks were just getting jacked up and folded up like lawn chairs.
Go Bears.
Good stuff, guys. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller and our entire cast, including the executive producer, Jim Patch. You got Rick Camp, Joe Ostrowski on the other side. Our guest this hour, Matt Slauson. I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.